Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, August 31st, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also consider taking a 90-hour court access and the common law course. You can find the link on our front page and in the description below. Also, please donate to support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the right side of our website. Okay, let me move a few things on my website here. Okay, we're going to pick up a reading. Our scripture reading tonight is on, let me see if I can open this up. Okay, there it is. It's 1 John chapter 3. Read by Alexander Scorby. 1 John, chapter 3.
Chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us.
Okay, the queue is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue? It's a star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an app or a browser, should be a button there. Jan, do we have any questions tonight or any announcements?
Yes, we have one long question. Really, it's like 5 statements with questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It concerns a demand letter process. In common law, a failure to answer is to accept the demand. Given no sworn denial, then it appears that they accept the premise of the demand. Okay, that means my demand is valid. Since items 1 and 2 of the demand were not completed, then number 3, the damages come into play. He who is silent appears to consent, and it gives the reference. In law, none is credited unless he has sworn. All the facts must, when established by witnesses, be under oath or affirmation. Reference for that. 2, I understand that the defendant has a fixed time to deny. I've heard numbers from 21 to 30 days, and we are way past that. Is that number written down anywhere? 3, to seek remedy requires a court of record. And from reading John Durash's books, A Jury of 12. When I took up Florida Courts of Record, and when I look it up, nothing shows up besides court records. Is there a local court of record, or does this require going to federal court? Where there is a right, there is a remedy, another reference. Where there is culpability, their punishment ought to be. Number 4, remedy for a demand that wasn't answered would seem to be a default or summary judgment. Can that be done in a local court in Florida if it is a court of record with a recorded history? And the last comment question is, under common law, is the court available to me without a fee? I thought I read that in John Durash's big book, but I can't find the reference. And that's all of the questions, John.
Okay. On a notice and demand, it's extremely important you follow the process. We do have a copy of the process. I presume that the individual followed that process. I believe we do cover that in the book, Government by Consent. We definitely cover that in the Court Access and the Common Law book. But if you fail, you know, on any of those points, it becomes a defective notice and demand. So it's very important to follow the process and the procedure, and every point needs to be made very clear and has to be done under affidavit form. Any document you put, you could put on the top SS, which is a sworn statement, and then on the bottom you get a notary. So any document could be made that way. Notice and demands are set up that way, at least the one that we put together. As far as the time is concerned, generally speaking, 30 days is usually what's allotted. They suggest for government agencies, agents, whatever, they suggest 60 minutes. Nothing is written in stone, but 30 days is definitely sufficient, generally speaking. A court of record, you're not going to find information in courts concerning that, because if you talk to any lawyer, every court case they have, we got courts of record. They think it's a court that keeps a record. But that's a legal term. You could look it up in Brovier's or in Black's Law Dictionary, and you will find that a court of record is that which proceeds according to the common law or the natural law. The remedy for demand, like through a summary judgment or something of that nature. Once you file a notice and demand, then you're going to have to get a court to execute the default. You want to then open up a court case and file for a default judgment under the fact that you had put together a notice and demand. They acquiesce by failing to respond. And, of course, you'd want to make a copy of that. Everything you do in a court should be sworn to. Everything should become an affidavit as you go. Now, the problem is you know, everything is run by the bar, you know. As a matter of fact, we made that point numerous times to the Supreme Court and to many others. But they pursue things from what they learn in you know, bar school, and all the judges, everybody. Of course, a lot of people that look deeper into things come to an understanding of what's going on, especially on the federal level. I think all these judges on the federal level understand the corruption and that the whole process is corrupt. And so, you know, but generally speaking, generally lawyers and most of the lower courts, they really don't have much of a clue. They believe what they've been taught. After all, they went to school, they spent a lot of money, and what they were taught has to be true. And it's been working out for them in whatever court cases they've been running through. You know, I just recently read something concerning being, they claim, of course, that we're under Roman law, that a nation was created under, you know, it was fashioned under Rome, going back to something like 500 B.C. or something like that, heading towards that kind of a perspective and designing our nation that way. Nothing could be further from the truth, of course. Founding fathers are clear on that. Federalist Papers prove who we are, where we come from. The Declaration of Independence lays down the fact that we are under natural law. And of course, our court system is supposed to be proceeding that way. It's an uphill battle with this whole thing, and that's what we're trying to straighten out, of course, with our court case going into the United States Supreme Court to make it clear on the problems, how they have corrupted this whole system, particularly the court system. I mean, there's so much involved here, but we're really focusing in on the court system itself. Now, coming in without a fee, you know, if you're on limited income, you can go through the process of going in as a poor person. There is it's really a simple form that you fill out. And what I've done that before, where you create the paperwork and file it with a proof of income and a statement concerning the fact that you know, you're coming in as a poor person, and that moves things along quite quickly. I've done one before for someone that we prematurely went to request the process first. And that seemed to take a long time. You know, they just got a couple of months before they even got back to us. They're looking into it, blah, 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 blah. And in that case, they said you couldn't go in. It was a court case that was going up against the status quo, and they didn't want to hear it. So they just didn't let it go through. But if you do it the other way, I've had success that way. So that's a key point to come in through that process. But anyway, getting back to the notice and demand, it's absolutely necessary to go through execution of that notice and demand through the court system itself. You don't want to file any kind of a lien on anybody or anything. The only lien that you can file on an individual in any court case is what's called a mechanics lien. And that, of course, usually is a contractor or a mechanic and someone who is billing. And you can file a lien, but it doesn't sound like this is that kind of a case, of course. So, but just to finish that point up, when you file a lien, you got to be very specific. You can't file the lien on, well, I guess I think you can on the labor. You'd have to look into the law of the state concerning the filing of a mechanics lien. You know, definitely you can file for all the materials that you've had on site or put on site or whatever the case may be. In the case of a mechanic, for automobile mechanic, for instance, they could do the same. And they could put a lien on. Liens only, a mechanic's lien, at least in New York State, the last time I filed one, and they could have changed things, but it's only good for 9 months. But it is kind of powerful if you're a contractor, because being a contractor, you're really kind of shutting down their site. It causes problems with the bank if they're working off monies, that they need money to pursue that project to continue on with. It kind of causes them a problem, puts a lot of pressure on them. But a mechanics lien has to be, here in New York anyway, 9 months, and has to be reissued every 9 months in order to keep it alive. I know they didn't ask about that, but I thought I'd bring that up. looking to see if there was anything else that was brought up that I didn't answer. I think I got all the points. So, again, you know, it is a problem that we, the people, have to pay a fee. That's another thing we're working with, working on, is coming into the courts without paying a fee. You know, we courts of justice, you don't pay for justice. And after all, the courts, everything that's going on in the courts, we've already paid for. You know, the building, the courthouse, the people working in there, and so on and so forth. It's already been paid for. They use that money really for an extended, or shall I say, I don't know that extended is the right word, but in order to, for a retirement plan, it gives them a greater retirement plan. A lot of these people working for the government, they got excellent retirement plans. And a lot of that money comes from people having to pay fees, particularly like on the court system. And there's many, many other things, you know, licenses and different things of that nature with, for instance, motor vehicles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just another way for them to make money, more money, and put it into their pockets in what they claim is a legal way. And it's usually divided in many different ways. You go to court and you pay a fee. You have to pay a state fee that feeds up into the state, and that helps for their retirement or additional retirement plan or more powerful or retirement plan or however they work that out. And then again, the court that is executing that fine, for instance, usually on motor vehicle, you know, speeding or whatever the case may be, you know, that court system, whatever money they're bringing in goes into the court system to feed and care and pay for, you know, to some degree, definitely for their retirement or extended or more powerful retirement plan. But some of it might be going also to support the police force, because they have to find a way for funding. A lot of that comes from taxes also, so I don't know how all that bookkeeping works. So, but again, it's all crooked, unlawful, and so on. Anyway, I think I covered all the points on that. Nothing else, Jan?
No, that's the whole thing for tonight, John. You're done.
All right, and no announcements. All right, I think what we'll do, I think we have some people in the queue already. Let me take a quick look. Yeah, we have one person in the queue. If anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and there should be a button there if you're on an app or a browser. I see a lot of people coming in here on phones, wireless calls. You know, you can download a file, you know, an app onto your smartphones as well as a computer, so that you can see the desktop and get a little more information otherwise coming in just totally blind and on a phone. So anyway, it's a better you know, way of participating, I guess you would say. All right, anybody wants to get into the queue, again, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. Apple browser should have a button. We only have one person in the queue, so we'll take the person in the queue. If we don't get any questions immediately, maybe we'll look at some letters that have been written. We wrote a letter to Trump. I don't think we revealed that yet. Matter of fact, I'm sure we didn't read that yet. We might read that tonight, depending on what kind of questions we get going here. The other thing is a cover letter also to the clerk. I know we read part of that. It's a 4-page letter, and it's interesting. So, and if anybody is filing into the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, through First Amendment process, right to petition, you can go directly into the Supreme Court without having to go up the line. And again, it depends on the issue, though, of course. You know, you're looking for something for the court to respond to. You're not looking for a court case. A court case has to go up the ladder through the process. So, but a petition for a redress of grievances, that can go directly into the court, into the Supreme Court. They have been rejecting them. They rejected them 3 times on us already. This is our 4th time coming in, but we're coming in from a different perspective, a different way. And we spoke about that before anyway. And if we do end up reading that page going into the clerk, There is a part of that letter which we had read before last week, I think it was, a part of that letter which explains the process. As a matter of fact, somebody had emailed me and asked a question. I'm not sure whether I answered them, but I did open the page up if they're online tonight. This is what they sent me to ask me if this is real, the right to petition, and this is where, Justice Roberts sent to the clerks that anybody coming in through a petition, they can't refuse it. You can't deny a First Amendment petition for a redress. And he sent a letter to the clerks concerning that. And so we're using that process to go through the system. And for a denial, matter of fact, with this case, because of this particular clerk and the problems we're having with this clerk, I think we may do one of two things, or maybe two things, actually. One is file we could file a complaint against them, and that could be something, in other words, sue the individual, and sue them not only for them to be obedient, but also for some kind of a penalty. I don't know that we really want to do that, but we will consider an indictment on that, and that's a possibility also. We did make the information clear that they'd be breaking the law, many, 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 many laws. I think there's like about 5 different laws they'd be breaking by denying our papers going into the system. Okay, with that, we'll take our first caller, and then we'll see where we go from there. Let me take a quick look again, see who's in here. Okay, again, we only have one person in the queue, so if anybody else wants to get into the queue, now's the time to do it. Okay, wireless caller, it's a 262 area code number. You've been unmuted. You got the mic. What's your first name and your state?
This is Fred. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, who is it?
Fred.
I'm not getting there. What's your first name? Hello? Try it again. I didn't get your first name.
Oh, can you hear me now? Fred from Wisconsin?
Okay, Fred from Wisconsin. I got you.
Yes.
Get the mic.
Okay, I'm preparing my non-judicial letter, for court for my foreclosure that they sent me a letter. They were going to foreclose September 1st. I'm not sure on the process. When do I send the letter, the non-judicial letter? When do I start it?
Well, again, it's a response to a non-judicial foreclosure. The first order of business is they walk you through a facade looking like they're going through the courts. The courts play the game with them. And so people are called into court, and they actually think that the court system is going to make the decision. And really, that usually doesn't happen. It's a time thing. It keeps going on and on and on. A lot of judges are a little nervous about signing off on a court case coming in with a non-judicial foreclosure because it's unlawful. It's also the process that they use is a fraud. We did put together a paper dealing with that. But if you're going to file these papers, you need to understand how the court system works. You need to... and again, this is why we tell everybody people should need to know how to access the courts. This is something we should have been taught as children when going through school. By the time we get through high school, we should be able to know how to file papers into the courts, how due process works, so on and so forth. They don't teach that. They should. And maybe one day that'll be part of the things we'll be pursuing to try to get into the education of our children, but again, that has a lot to do with the people. If the people don't get together to work this out, to put the pressure on their school boards to require these things to be learned, then it's not going to be done. We may be able to get it required as a standard for on the federal level, any school who doesn't give courses on due process and the court system, how it works, also common law and civil processes. You know, all this people, children, our children are not learning it. You know, most of us have not learned this through school. We haven't learned the Constitution. We haven't learned who we are really as a people. American history is, most of it's been erased. They give you a lie and a lot of stuff they don't even cover. And again, you know, they teach the lie in bar school. Again, these people coming out of bar school, they really think that we're under civil law and that it's lawful. They really think that this nation was created under Rome. You know, the nation of Rome and fashioned as Rome. And again, all of that is a lie. You just have to read the Federalist Papers and read the quotes and, you know, and the letters between our founding fathers concerning the creation of this nation, and you'll get a proper picture on how we came to be and who we are as a people, that we're a Christian nation, that the king of our court is Jesus Christ, that we're under natural law. That's the law of the land. And even equity, which is legislative law, we've given permission to these people to write that law under Article 1, Section 8, and we've listed them with 18 powers, and they've gone far beyond that. But even that, you know, that is not civil law, okay? That's legislative law under equity. It's called equity, and equity really means that which is just. And equity, in our case, is supposed to be operating under the rules of common law, which, of course, they abrogated, and that's the big problem we have, is the abrogation of the law of the land, and which included not only the law, but the rules of law. And of course, they've created their own rules of the court. So, but anyway, you know...
Do you have something that I can go by?
Yeah, two
you
things.
Know, the process?
Yeah, two things I'm going to tell you. And if you look under here, okay, you're coming into the phone, so you really can't see what I'm doing. But on my desktop here, you come under Education Starts here. You highlight that up on the blue bar. And
yeah.
You come down to Law, okay?
Okay,
and
Law.
When you come to Law, you then come over and you come down to Court Forms and Process, okay?
Okay, and, court form.
Court forms and process.
Okay.
And let's see, there's a demand here, the common law trust. I'm pretty sure we do have papers in here, forms for traffic court, challenging jurisdictions, moving your case to federal court for cause, forms to file habeas corpus, move the court for enforcement, notice and demand, memorandums. I'm pretty sure we have it in here. Let me take a quick look again. Maybe I missed it. Maybe it was up on top for filing papers. Let's see. Yeah, well, quo warranto, notice and demand. Common law trust. Okay, I don't think we have any. Well, challenges, no. I guess we don't. I thought we had this up on this page. I'll try to get it up on the page, really, is filing
okay.
In the court for a... non-judicial foreclosure, and it
okay.
Lays out the fact that the whole thing is a fraud and set up, you know, as a fraud. And
well, I've been reading some of those letters. It's very, very interesting.
Well, one of the things I would tell you, okay, is extremely important. You have to understand how the court system works. You know, one of the things, you know, if you come in a certain way and the judge sees you have certain knowledge. And that you're able to really kind of negotiate your way around the process. They kind of scratch their head about you. They start to see that you're coming in under natural law, that you're pursuing a court of record, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it kind of puts a little wonder in the mind of the judge, not knowing who they're really dealing with. I've been asked even if I was a lawyer, because of the way some of the responses. I try to look as much as a lawyer as I can, but from the common law perspective, you know what I mean? And I use their statutes to be applied upon them, you know, not necessarily anything to do with me, but what they have to do, because statutes are there to control them. And a lot of statutes are written for that purpose. But also, of course, they've added that, and they call that civil law now, and they've added a lot of things in there to try to control the people and put us under civil law. But to go into the court without having basic knowledge is going to be real tough. And, you know, I suggest to people that they take our course. We have, under Education Starts Here, we have Court Access in the Common Law course, if you click on that. In there, we do have the paperwork going through the process for nonjudicial foreclosures. But anyway, people interested in that, it's only $125 for a 90-hour course. And it teaches you everything you need to know, anything you'd pretty much be learning in a college course for due process. They have a 60-hour course. We have a 90-hour course. They are focused on civil law. We're focused in on natural law. And we got lots of information, lots of forms, how to use the forms, you know, how to come into the court, the proper process, the serving process. I mean, it's not really difficult. It may seem a little overwhelming in the beginning, but it's all logical. Okay, the process to go through the courts is pretty much logical, although they violate certain areas. It's still pretty much logical. It's common sense, because the whole system was created a long time ago under common sense. So, you know, the due process has not ever really changed. And common law in itself is purely just common sense. And really, you're coming in, every battle you make, and really it's a battle of facts. You know, you come in with the facts, and you build your case around the facts, not necessarily around statutes or anything like that. Of course, you can apply and use the Constitution, you know, you can be suing for a denial of due process, again. But everything pretty much is really common sense, common law. So anyway, anybody planning to go into court, you really need to learn it. And anybody who's not planning to go into court, one day you'll end up in court, and you should know these things. We should know these things as a child. This is part of who we are. This is part of due process. This is part of controlling the people that's supposed to be working for us, but they think we work for them sometimes. They think that they're the master and we are the slave or something, you know, the servant of them. They call the court my court. No, it's not your court. It's the people's court. It belongs to us. It doesn't belong to you. But a lot of these judges will use that phrase. This is my court. You don't do this in my court, you know, or whatever. You know, they make this statement often. I've heard it numerous times. So, but anyway, you know, if you go in there without understanding, they're going to chew you up and spit you out. You're breaking up. Try it again. Are you don't have us on speakerphone, do you?
No, it's a mute the speaker.
Oh. You sound clear now. Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you, and you sound clear at the moment. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do have the. I bought your course. I'm halfway on the first chapter. I probably didn't get to the process yet, but it's an excellent course. You know, I'm taking it right now.
Okay, excellent. You'll find in there for sure. You'll find in there.
Oh, okay.
Let's see if I can find this quickly for you. Control fine.
But I can sue them, right? I can sue them.
You do a countersuit, yes.
And, countersuit. And what is the amount that someone can sue a countersuit?
Well, what are they doing? Trying to take you home?
Yes. They're trying to take it.
How much do they claim you owe?
I owe about $9,000-$10,000.
That's all?
Yes.
Is this a tax or a mortgage?
It's a tax.
Okay.
It's property tax.
It's the same thing. Again, they go through the nonjudicial foreclosure process.
Right.
And you can go into the court and file the papers. Let me see if I can find this. Let's see, nonjudicial. Nope, that's not it.
There's some nontraditional letters that I've been reading. Very excellent. Very, very nice.
Paperwork. Yes, that's what you want to find. Oh, I think I'm on the wrong page. I'm looking at the videos. Hang on a second. Let me go on the other side of things. Okay, the table of contents. Okay, on the table of contents is where you'll find that. And
yes. Mm-hmm. I got them all. I got them all.
There's a
couple of them in Wisconsin, too.
All right, well, those are the things that you want to use in the courts, but you're going to want to do a lot of homework here. It's a 90-hour course, okay, and so it takes some time. In an emergency, you can kind of pursue it like going to college or something and put 6-8 hours a day in it and get through it quickly. And you make your notes as you go along, particularly for what's in mind for what you need to deal with.
Right.
And so, you know, how to file a countersuit, you'll find that in here. You'll want to file concerning the fact it's a non-judicial foreclosure and that it's fraud. And then there's a process, of course, if they try to railroad you, then there's a denial of due process. That is the other thing. You can't take my property without giving me due process. And that court is capable of giving you due process. Due process requires a jury to be due process. So once you understand all those things, you're going to make a lot of battles here. They'll never be able to go through that process to pull a jury in. They just can't do it because the whole thing is a fraud. If you go through the process or the paperwork that we put together very carefully, you'll see that it's a crime. And and also the fact that just in its labeling, non-judicial foreclosure. I mean, right there, it's the lack of due process, okay? And again, you know, we also show people how to file papers to move it to federal court for cause. The only way you can get into federal court properly, of course, is on a constitutional violation, a rights violation, shall I really say, because we have a lot more rights than what's in the Bill of Rights, you know?
Right.
You know, rights violation, you can move it into federal court for cause, for the denial of due process in this case, but you don't get into the, you know, the information of what the court case is about. You know, that foreclosure or this, or you owe money, or they claim you owe money, or tax. You know, you get into any of that, you'll be thrown out of court and they won't even tell you why. You've been thrown out of court because they cannot hear it. The only thing that that a federal court can hear is a constitutional issue. You find if you end up in federal court under that kind of a situation, you'll find that these people are pretty much morons, even though they're lawyers that have a good amount of knowledge, maybe on the state court level or really the county court level or the town court level is really where they're operating at. A lot of them are operating on that town court level. That's really where the foreclosures, I've seen all the foreclosures through that, and that in itself is a denial of due process because you can't get due process there. It's a civil court, law court, so you can't get due process in a civil law court. We're in natural law. And you know, they go through that process, and when they come into court, I've been in court with them where they start bringing up the issues. And I didn't have to shut them down. I didn't even have to object. The judge shut them down. Okay, and told them that you should understand how this court system works in the federal court, and that this is a constitutional issue, so on and so forth. Not that you're going to win on the federal court, because ultimately they like to maintain the status quo, but it's possible. It's possible. But it's an uphill battle.
All those that are in non-judicial court, well, those papers, did they win their cases?
Well, you know, a lot of people that have gone through the process of battling them. Every time you have a court date, you show up and you argue against them, you know, by what power, what authority, so on and so forth. You know, again, they seem to go over and over and over. I've known people going through this for 5 years. Okay, and if people don't go through that process to fight in the court, you know, to show up there, then all of a sudden you won't hear nothing for maybe a year or so, and the next thing you know, the sheriff will come and kick you out, because they will during that time, that process, they will start changing the ownership of that property, and again, the whole thing is a crime. They're coming to steal, but I would. I would continue into the court, and you can kind of read the court, because generally speaking, at some point they say, okay, you know, we're going to come back here on such a date. And so as long as that continuation goes on, I would play that out as long as I could, okay? You know, requiring, you know, well, with mortgage it's a lot easier because you're requiring the authority of those people to come in, you know, that you don't have a contract with those people that are, you know, coming
in. No.
Yeah, you know, but on the tax system, it's kind of a little different. That may work a little faster maybe sometimes, but again, they do have a problem. And your big argument is, look, I'm not getting due process here. I want a jury trial here. Anything over $20, you know, Seventh Amendment, they think, no, it's not the Seventh Amendment. Which amendment is it? Maybe it is the Seventh Amendment. I'll have to take a look. But
okay.
Anyway, you know, anything over a certain amount, yeah. In suits of common law, this is the Seventh Amendment, in suits of common law where the value in the controversy shall exceed $20, when this was written, $20 was an ounce of gold, by the way. The trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Not the civil law. Common law is natural law. And you can pull the Declaration of Independence into it. We're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. And the security of the blessings on the preamble and in the Constitution. You know, the body of the Constitution. But as soon as you start to see that things are going bad for you, that's where you file to move into federal court. So I would
try
to get them off as much as I could. I'd attend every hearing that they have. I would give them an argument of denial. I'm not getting due process here. They don't have the authority, so on and so forth. And again, as long as they keep moving that along, come back another month, that gives you more time to learn.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As far as mortgage foreclosures, I've seen people in their homes for 5 years. You know, to change the ownership of a property and to move it over without a court order, okay, because they're not going to get a court order, this whole thing's a facade. They're just making it look like it's appropriate and legal, lawful, or whatever. But you know, it takes a while to make that changeover from one ownership to another. Once that is sealed, then you have a problem because now the ownership is shown by the people who've taken it over, which is usually someone, a mortgage company or something. And in this case, of course, it's tax. So, you know, that's another. They can't really take ownership in a tax foreclosure. The only thing they could do is try to seize it, and then they auction it off. But again, once you start to see that it's not going the way you need it to go by continuing going back and forth to the court,
mm-hmm.
at that point you need to be ready to move into federal court for cause for a denial of due process. And that's the only issue you want to argue. We should have some paperwork in here showing you, you know, how to write the paper for a denial of due process and how to file it, what papers are required, and so on.
Okay. All right. And also, I have another question. Can someone sue the IRS?
I have.
Yeah. Who do you have? Doesn't the Bar Association run the IRS?
Well,
that who you sue? Who you serve papers to?
Yeah, they're all criminals in the same criminal organization, so to speak, from my perspective. But no, the IRS is a different entity. Okay.
Right.
Uh-huh. You can sue the Internal Revenue Service.
Directly to them?
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to.
Okay.
When I sued them, I sued the director because he's the responsible one. Everybody else, you know, nobody gives you your real name, the IRS.
They don't, no.
Yeah, it's all robo thing. What I forget what they call it, robo signers or something. And everybody has a fake name, whoever's pushing those papers out. But you can put that person's name in it and put in that they're a robo signer. I think I might have a paper and a course on that if you search it out through the foreclosure processes. So you can sue that person, and you can sue. I go after the director of the IRS. That you can find very quickly on the internet, you know. And when I did it and I went through a lawsuit, they responded back to me in a letter. and they told me I wasn't liable for taxes, and they gave me a release of lien. I don't remember how much it was, $150,000 or something like that. And at that point, I just dropped the case. I didn't want to poke the bear any further than that. You know, you stick your stick into the hornet's nest, you're going to have a problem. So I saw that kind of, you know, the way they responded to me, I decided to back off, so I didn't pursue damages.
Oh, okay.
I was happy.
I'll check into that.
But the IRS is going to be gone soon. That whole system, the whole monetary system, is in the process of being changed. Anybody paying attention to the real news, not on the network news, but there's a lot of people out there. Podcasters are really giving some good news out. Matter of fact, you can find some good stuff under our Welcome tab. You go to up-to-date news. And a couple of the best places, in my opinion, is the X-22 report and We Know. RJ Talks is good. Matt Morris, kind of long-winded. He's kind of young, but he's pretty good. He's learning and gives a lot of good information. And there's others. Stephen Gardner is good. But I do think that what's going on right now concerning the Treasury, and they're going to be moving this whole process. We're heading towards gold and silver, back to constitutional money. And that kind of stuff you'll hear mostly on X-22 Report and We Know. So those two places. And, do you have an IRS problem at this point, too?
Yes, I do.
How much?
Yes. It's up and down, but this bill was, they told me it was from wages back, I think it was 2006.
And when did they serve you on that?
Wow, they served me in
what year?
About 2018.
Okay, then that's, look at, they there is a window of time that they can come out after you, okay? And once they pass that window of time, they can't get you. So I would go look that up. I forget what it is, maybe four years or something like that, that they can go back. Now, if they hit you back earlier than the 4 years, and then they screw around and it goes year after year after year and year, and then they finally come out after you, you know, they've been pursuing it within that window, okay? So there is, I'm trying to think what they call it. It's on the tip of my tongue. I don't know why I can't think of it. Anyway, if I can think of it, I'll make a note of it. But you'll find that information up on the course. It's a large course. We cover a lot of things. Again, what I would suggest, if it's a 90-hour course, let's say, and you're really serious about this, if you have the time, let's say it's a 90-hour course, let's divide it by 5 hours. So that's, let me see, 90 divided by 5. Okay, that's 18 days. If you could put 5 hours a day in it for 18 days, you'll get through the course. Now, not that you're going to, you're going to get a nice big overview from that, okay, by going through the course that way quickly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But through that, listening to the audio and the video and going through the papers that we refer back to throughout that course, okay, if you're just following along, as you're going along, you say, oh, let me make a note of that because it's important. I'm going to need that. Oh, let me make a note of that. Make your notes of your necessities. And then you can go back to those chapters and really get deep into the information in those chapters or sub-chapters concerning the issues that you're dealing with. Okay?
Okay. All right. I just got a letter a couple months ago, about 5 months ago, from the IRS. They put a warrant for my arrest.
No, they can't put a warrant for your address.
They did. They did.
Well, before we go there, it's called a statute of limitations, okay? That's the word.
Oh, okay.
And you got to go out and look, okay, what it is in the USC 26 definitely covers all that stuff, and I think you'll find it in there, but maybe not. You might find it in USC 18 or USC 28. So that's where I'd be looking, 26, 28, and 18 particularly. But if
and 18,
you go in and say, go into Google. You know, I'll tell you what. I use Grok. Okay. I don't
Grok.
Do,
okay.
I'll go to Grok and ask questions. I know that Grok will give you status quo, and so I don't use ask questions that I know it's going to respond to me with status quo. But I'll tell you what, it digs up some great information very quickly. So if you go to Grok, let's say, and ask the question, what is the statute of limitations with the IRS pursuing taxes? Okay, you start with something like that. And Grok will kick out a whole bunch of stuff, and it'll give you the statute of limitations. I'm sure you'll find it very quickly that way. And once you got the statute of limitations, maybe it's 4 years. Now you got to go back and look to see when they started pursuing you. Now you said this goes back to 2006, but you say I think you said that 2018 was they started to pursue you, right? If that's the case, it's 12 years. Statute of limitations.
I have to quit.
You broke right again.
They were going
to. Yeah, you're kind of breaking up. Try it again.
Okay. I had to quit my work in 3.
Yeah, I'm not getting you because you're pinging out on us. I don't know. Your phone is kind of breaking up on us. The point I wanted to make here, let me think a minute. Well, go ahead. Try to talk again. What are you saying?
Oh, they were going to freeze my entire account, so I had to quit work.
All right, well, let me ask you. So you were working for someone, and they were giving you tax. Yeah. They were taking tax out of your paycheck?
Well, they take taxes, you know, because of my work. But they were going to freeze my employer's account for the whole amount.
Well,
so
yeah.
I had to quit.
Well, again, they can only take so much, a certain percentage. They can't take away your total living, okay? They can only take a percentage, all right? And I don't know to ask, you know, go do searching on that. Again, I'd ask Rocco a question on that too. And, you know, maybe someone making a certain amount of money, they could take a higher percentage, maybe if they're making a high amount of money than maybe someone making $25 or $30 an hour versus someone who's making $100 an hour, whatever the case may be. There may be some kind of a scale with that. I don't know. They're crazy, so... again, you know, here's the problem, okay? You see, with me, I have been an employee. Many years ago, I was an employee. I mean, 30 years or more, I was an employee, maybe 40 years. And other than that, I've always worked outside the system through corporations, and I never dealt with the tax people. So when they came out after me, they couldn't give me a proof of claim, because where are they going to get information from? They have to have something solid, and that's how I won the case, because they couldn't give me a proof of claim. I demanded them to give me a file. I think it's 4490. Let me think about this. I haven't
4490.
I think it's a 4490. Let me see. Let me see if I can find this on our page quickly. Hang on a minute. Let's go IRS. Let's see. Yeah, I think it's a 4490. Fraud memorandum. Writ of error. Yeah, 4490 and a Form 56. Okay.
And a Form 56, right?
Now, the Form 4490 is proof of claim. Okay, so they have to fill out this paperwork on the proof of claim, and it has to be notarized. So it has to be sworn to. And believe me, especially in my case, they're making it up. I know what they did because I know where they got the numbers from. And that was unlawful to begin with. They had to break into an account to do that. And so that's the amount that they put upon me to come. So that kind of shook them up too. And when I pushed with the 4490, which is proof of claim, then and then also for, there's another form there that's called a form 56, okay?
Right.
And that's relationship, all right? They don't have fiduciary relationship. If they think they do, well, fill out the information and swear to it. I actually sent them the forms to do that. And after I was in the court, and when I left the last hearing I had went to, I sent them those papers. I demanded in the court. I demanded also in writing with the papers, and you certify everything, of course, that they need to give me these papers. Where did these numbers come from? And when they responded back within 2 weeks, and that's when they gave me a release of lien and an apology letter, saying I wasn't liable. They didn't say I didn't owe. They said I wasn't liable for taxes in that year.
Oh,
so
okay.
My situation is different, but you, there's a record. There's an employer that's reporting on you. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem. So, again, I don't know.
Okay, all right. I'll check into that.
Right, but how is it that they put a warrant out? What happened with that?
Wow, that's a long story. I'll talk to you about it later, or I'll email you. Email you my story.
All right, that's not still open, though, is it?
Yeah. What's that?
It's not still open. Has it been dealt with somehow? Or?
Oh, no, it's still open.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a look if you send something. You keep it short. What is it, a one-pager?
No, it's pretty long.
I can skim through it and I'll let you know. I mean, I can't spend too much time on it, but I'll see what I can
right.
do.
Right. Okay, okay. I'll send it to you. Email.
Yeah, send it to NLA.
To Jan?
Liberty
NLA,
Alliance.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, NLA@NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Send it there.
Okay. All right.
As a matter of fact, send it to mail, M-A-I-L, because there's a few other people that will be able to see that, and, you know, maybe they can learn from that, or maybe give
okay.
some ideas.
M-I-L-L?
M-A-I-L. M-A-I-L, like, you know, sending mail, email. But
M-A-I-L,
LibertyAlliance.org. Anybody else wants to get into queue, it's a *6-1 if you're on a phone. If you're on an app or browser, it should be a button there to enter the queue. Because there's no one else in the queue other than that. Maybe we'll look at some letters.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Fred.
Thank you.
Good luck with that. So. Okay. Let's see. That's, I think, we're going to do, unless someone comes into the queue. I'll keep my eye open here. For anybody entering the queue, let me just click next question. Okay, queue is still live. All right, here's the letter, the cover letter we're sending to Trump, because we're sending our papers, which we looked at, I think it was last week or the week before we read through it. We also did a video just on that that's up on Rumble, and it's also up on YouTube. And that's the presentment to SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. And we sent copies or are sending copies to Trump, his administration, all of the people within his administration, at least most of them. There's some just didn't make any sense to send it to. I think it was 29 or 30 people altogether we'll be sending. But the cover letter to Trump and to his administration and some senators and congressmen. Before I get into that, it looks like another person came in. Let's take that question. 203 number, I think that's Connecticut, isn't it?
Yes, this is Tim.
Yeah, how you doing, Tim?
Hey, how are you, John?
Good.
All right, so my questions are in the same vein as the guy previous in relation to the foreclosure. Remember, I'm in a situation like that too.
Right.
So, okay, first of all, I was there yesterday. I went to the National Liberty Alliance. It occurred to me that maybe you had already done it. Sometimes, right, you have various, you put examples of various ways to set up the a suit, right? In the I don't know the terminology to use here. The
yours is also it's foreclosure also, right?
Yes, foreclosure.
Yeah, but it's not tax. It's more, right? Or is it?
Actually, it might become both because, right, the tax is going to continue. So it's going to be attackable from both sides, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Have you been going to court every so often?
No, it hasn't. I haven't submitted any. If that's what's implied, a countersuit, is that what's...
Well, no. Have you been in court at all? Have they summoned you to court?
No. I thought that they do these foreclosures, being they do them illegally, criminally.
Well,
they don't involve the courts at all. They just send the sheriff after a while, but they do.
No, that takes time, and there's a process, and they have to turn the. There's a big process in that. You have to give them a hard time, and what you need to do. And I remember your case. We spoke about it on a couple of occasions. But
okay.
What you basically do is send them a letter. This is a mortgage asking, where is the agreement? Okay, that I have no agreement with you. First of all, when your mother got the loan, it was your mother that got it, right?
Yes.
Okay, do you know how long ago was it? Roughly, do you know?
I can give a better time than roughly. It would have been 25 years ago, 25 years and a half about.
Do you have papers? Those papers, do they exist?
Do you
have the papers of the original loan and the mortgage, which set up the mortgage?
It could be at the place in the condominium, but I don't know specifically.
You
if,
need to
if
find.
There or not.
You need to find that. Okay, you search that out. I mean, again, look at AI is destructive, and if it ever gets to the point where they're claiming it's getting to, and some claim we're already there, well, the end of the world has come then, because it's going to destroy us, and it doesn't. It's not going to be conscious. Okay.
I don't know what you're saying. End of the world.
Yeah.
What
okay. Let me move away from that. The point is you can go out and use Grok, okay? Now, Grok is an AI. It's a simple AI. It's not. I don't think that you can really call it an AI. Maybe you can. It's really a very sophisticated search engine is what I would call it. And you can go out and ask specific questions and ask for, for instance, you can say, I'm trying to find the mortgage on a... It's a condominium, you say, right?
Yes.
Okay. Trying to find a mortgage on a condominium. And you can even put the address down because it's surprising. Grok gets into everything. It really searches out a lot of stuff. They may be able to get very specific. And that's what you're hoping for. But if you go ask the question, put some good detail in it. I try to keep it short. You know, keep your question short. And if you have three questions, don't put them all together. Just ask the first question, and then once you get the answer, you can then answer the second question. Or maybe you want to further indulge on the first question to get the real answer that you're looking for. But the point is you need to find this information. And once you find this information, you want to see who's holding that more, who, where the loan came from. And I would suspect very strongly it came from a bank.
Yeah, I know the name of the bank even. Yeah.
Well, then there you go. Now the bank. Now the people that are trying to do a mortgage foreclosure is probably a group of lawyers usually. I mean, is it the bank or is it someone else?
Okay. Well, the letters, the communications that they sent, letters. It was under the bank heading, so.
Well, they may refer to the bank, but you need to know who's actually coming out after you. Usually what happens with mortgages, they package them up and they'll put, 1,000 more mortgages into one place, and then they'll sell it to a group of lawyers who will go through the process of collecting the money, and then they'll go through the defaults and try to get the money if you default on it and so on and so forth. Or you may get a, they may package something with a whole bunch of defaults, and a group of lawyers would buy it and try to make money. So they may sell it to these group of lawyers, you know, for 20 cents on the dollar or 10 cents on the dollar or whatever, trying to get some money out of it and move on. The thing is once it changes hands, you didn't agree to that. You have no agreement with them. Who are you people? I don't know who you are.
Do you know? Go ahead. How do you go ahead?
Yeah, you ask them. How do they come to be on trying to collect money from you? Who are you? Where is the contract between you and me?
Yeah, it doesn't. I see that it's not. It wouldn't be. A person wouldn't be aware of the. A person has to be aware. Has to be within the agreement, right? It would have to be within
right,
the agreement
that
was made.
In order for there to be an agreement, which is a contract, in order for there to be a contract, okay, it has to be a meeting of the minds. That's number one.
Okay.
And if there's no meeting of the minds, the contract in itself is null and void. But let's go past meeting of the minds, okay? You now have a contract or an agreement of some kind, okay? Now, once they move that agreement to another entity, they have to go through you to do that. They have to give you get your agreement on that, because they have
except remember it's still in her name, even though it's mine, because she died, but it's still
you have fiduciary authority over it because you're the heir.
Okay
let me take a quick look at a fiduciary authority on that paper. Hang on a minute. Let me see what we were on this.
If you don't mind, in relation to that foreclosure stuff, I don't even remember ever seeing a letter. They're sending letters, but they never said anything about a foreclosure, not that I recall. And I learned about it by a guy. Remember I told you a guy called me, one of those people who buy people's houses, one of those people like that that are going to be, he looks up in the whatever the records, and he saw that this house was, that they started a foreclosure in July. And that's how I found out about it. I don't remember them ever saying anything about that in the letters, that it was going to be foreclosed. But all they say now that they talk about giving assistance, whether a person, you know, that person, they're sending it to the estate of her, so apparently they know that she died now, and they're just, it's about giving assistance that a person can get this kind of loan or whatever, or call for assistance because it's behind in payment.
All right, now have you, so it sounds like it's coming from a different group of people trying to solicit you. Is that what's happening? I mean, is these people saying you owe me this money and we want it, and you go, or whatever the case may be, or work out terms with us or whatever? Or is it saying we've discovered this information and that you're in the middle of a foreclosure, we can help you?
It's what a bank would do when a person falls behind payments, and they send letters saying they offer programs or to contact them to find a, you know, a way to get help or whatever from the bank or programs. Those are the kind of letters they're sending.
Look into
that.
They
didn't say anything about foreclosure. Go ahead.
Hey, well, you need to look into that. You need to make that phone call. You need to talk to people. You need to find out what's going on. What are they talking about? What can you do for me? Why are you sending me? Are you soliciting me to help me, or are you the bank? You got to find out who these people are. Okay?
I called them a few months ago, and they told me that about what happened. Maybe I shouldn't have done that with my mother, and they told me that if I wanted to have it put in my name to be the one, they wouldn't even talk about the account with me, her account, even though it became my property. They said it would have to go through probate court before, and then it would be put in my name, and then they would talk to me. They wouldn't talk to me or anything.
Yeah, that's such an evil thing. Is there a will?
There's a will, yes.
And the will says what? Everything goes to you, period?
Yes, that's what it says.
Well, I unfortunately, you're going to have to deal with a lawyer on that because you don't have the ability to really work that process yourself, and that's going to cost you a bare minimum $500, okay? But it may cost you more than that because they're bloodsuckers, you know. They want to become millionaires on a case, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous, these lawyers. But you're going to have to call around, find yourself a lawyer that might help you with this. You might have to talk to 5 or 6 or 7 or even more lawyers to find out what their fee is going to be on this before you even pursue. And also maybe to go in and have a consultation on it to see, you know, you don't want to be charged for that. You want to see if we can work a deal out to assist me with this. Because it should be a matter of just filing forms. It shouldn't be a matter of having to go to probate court. Probate court doesn't have any right to even deal with this whole thing. It's all abusive. You know, their process is something else. For instance, if you were a young child underage and you inherited it, then maybe that would have to go through a probate court. And maybe not. You know, again, I have never studied this law deeply enough to know where or what to go to on that. But the bottom line is this. I would imagine that you can get a lawyer. When my father passed away, okay, my father had already set up, everything he needed to take care of to deal with his burial and everything. And the undertaker, which is in a little town in Pennsylvania, the undertaker approached me and said, well, look, your father left instructions, so on and so forth. And he did all the paperwork. He wasn't even a lawyer. He didn't even charge me anything. Okay, I guess my father had already prepaid for this. And, we got the house, divided the house between, the children, okay, my brothers and sisters. So we got the house and some minimum stuff, a little bit of money here or there or whatever. But everything was done. We didn't go to probate court or anything. It was not necessary. Now, they're telling you...
Maybe that was before the time of so much corruption, huh? Maybe later day and age, they have...
It's been corrupt for a long time. You know, what I think is going to happen is if the lawyer deals with it, he probably files a paper in the probate court, which makes it clear there's no need for a hearing or anything. You got a will here, and they write the paper, make the movement, and make the change of ownership. That's what you need to do. You're going to have to deal with a lawyer on this because you don't have the background on it. In my case, also, I don't have the background on it either. I mean, I would try to investigate, try to learn, to see how the process and the procedures are and all that stuff, and then see if I can work it out on my own, and probably can, but nevertheless, I don't see why a lawyer would charge any more than $500 to file the papers for you, because that's all it is. If you got all the papers, nothing needs to be searched out to be discovered, you got the will, you got the mortgage, the ownership of the property information. I don't see why they can, and of course you prove your ID. Lawyers should be able to deal with this filing a paper.
I contacted various lawyers and they all told me that it has to. That every single one told me it has to go through probate.
The question becomes: what does that mean? Does that mean it has to go to probate because we'll fill the papers out? Don't worry about it. You sit at home, we'll fill the papers, file with the court. The court will then make the signature on it because everything's in order. All the forms are filled out and done. And a lot of times these lawyers, they're saying that to make you think there's all kinds of things that they got to go through because they love to make their money. And they'll send you a bill for this and send you a bill for that, you know?
I know what's going to happen. I know that when the thing goes through probate, the court will give an order to sell the property. I'm pretty sure that that's what's going to happen.
No. You don't. Why would they give an order to sell the property?
Because a person, a deceased person, to take care of the supposed debts that the deceased person would have had, and so forth.
Does your mother have a lot of debt?
No, the so-called IRS, but otherwise, not no.
The devil. Well, what does she owe to the IRS?
I talked to, there was another time when I shared with you that she stopped paying for years, and they did send a letter, and somehow It was like a 5 years ago, and they were saying that she owed, since I don't know, for a couple of years somehow they alluded to a few years that she, for which she owed. They didn't allude to farther back than that. So that part, if you know, it'd still be, that was again 5 years ago when they were sending those letters or so.
Was she working for somebody, or was she working for herself?
She was working for somebody.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you need to. Have you ever heard of prepaid legal?
Prepaid legal. It sounds familiar. I think I understand the meaning. A person pays beforehand, and then.
It's kind of like that. It's like a club, okay, and basically, depending on what state you're in, it operates differently. And prepaid legal, you know, you may get a plan where you're paying $39 a month for it, okay? And whenever you have a legal issue, you can make the phone call, and these lawyers will give you all kinds of information. Now, if you need a lawyer to represent you, they'll get a lawyer at a reasonable price, number one. And like if it was a case where they would collect, most lawyers would collect a third on something, but that's a lawsuit. You're not going through a lawsuit. If they do it for 25%. Instead of a third, 33%. But if you need a lawyer, they will find you an expert lawyer at a very low rate because you're in the club. Okay? So you're paying prepaid legal. I know when I was in it, I was paying them, and it was quite a few years ago, I was paying $39, $39.95 a month, you know? And I had access to lawyers.
A month, you said? A month?
Month, $39.95 a month.
Wow, that's a good deal, huh?
Absolutely. And the thing is, I would get a speeding ticket or something, and I would just send it in, and I sent it with $50, that's it, and some lawyer will go out and take care of it. And every time I got a speeding ticket or some kind of an infraction, they never fined me or anything. They seem to beat it all the time, okay? And, you know, and I would have to pay $50 to the lawyer, you know, well, to the firm, to prepaid legal, and then we would pay that lawyer that money. Look for prepaid legal. Search out on the Internet, see if they're operating in Connecticut, and see what kind of plans they have going. And then I would join that right away. And once you join it, they'll deal with you right away. You know, you get your first month in, you can call up with your problem, and they'll deal with it.
Okay, and then I could ask. Then I could ask whether what I suspect would be the case that,
right, you give them all the
information. And they could tell me what happens when it goes through probate. Go ahead.
Exactly. Give them all the information. Hide nothing, okay? Hide nothing.
Okay.
Tell them that you think maybe with the IRS, you don't know exactly what that is the case with that. Tell them you got some papers from some group about that you don't even understand what it's about. Maybe, you know, are they soliciting you or what? I mean, they'll probably tell you, well, fax us a copy or email us a copy. You'll get good stuff. I'll tell you what, it was a good deal. It really was a good deal.
I'm hearing an echo now, so I'm a little distracted. It seems as if for me to try to start a counter suit now, it seems like that would be, it would be.
You're not in that point. You're not at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
okay.
What I was trying to say.
You don't
go
know
ahead.
Who would sue or why you would sue or what. You wouldn't know anything. You don't know if there's a foreclosure involved or maybe there's a potential foreclosure.
No, there's a foreclosure. You remember the guy called me and he told me that they started in the early part of July, and a guy called me that one of those people froze and repeat.
Was that July of 2025?
No, it was this year, July of this year.
Okay, so that's only a month ago.
Yes, last month. Well, okay. Almost. I mean, we're almost at the end of August, but
very early on. Believe me, it's not going to work through the system that quickly. You're very early on. Look it. Go out and see if prepaid legal is in Connecticut. You know, in different states they have different plans, okay? And I'm pretty sure Connecticut is in the plan. You know, read up on it, go to their site, join it. Like maybe these days it's $49 a month. I don't know. You know, it was a long time ago when I was in it. But you know, join it, okay, and then call them up and start talking to them about your problem. You'll be surprised. You'll get a lot of stuff from there, a lot of information. They'll give you a lot of information right on the phone. They don't hold nothing.
Okay, so but I thought lawyers were not our friends. You remember, if they worked for, they worked for them.
They're not. They still look at. There may be a case where I would hire a lawyer to come in, but I would control them. I would write the papers, maybe run through them, and they may say, "Well, you shouldn't say this and shouldn't say that." Well, that's tough. I'm going to say that anyway. But they can give me information. They can help me make things look a little better, whatever the case may be. You know, depending on the case. It's about how much knowledge I may have, or how fast I have to deal with this, you know. But sometimes you have to deal with these lawyers. Let's put it this way. Lawyers are the minions of the New World Order. They don't know it. They're useful idiots. They have no clue because they were taught the lie and they believe it. So they're the enemy. It is true. But it doesn't mean you can't use them for certain things. And at some point in time... you know, if we can win back our courts and get courts of justice open and close down the bar, you know, lawyers are falling, but they shouldn't be taught to lie. Matter of fact, that's another thing I was thinking of doing is suing the Bar Association. And
what did you say, lawyers what? But they shouldn't be taught to lie, lawyers what?
Well, lawyers are taught a lie. They're taught that we're under civil law and not natural law. They have no clue of that. You know, it's like when you write a paper and you file it to a lawyer. It's all new to them. It's like a deer caught in the headlights of a car, you know. I mean, they don't understand. It's like they can't understand it. I mean, they got to understand it, but it's like they can't conceive it. It's a conspiracy theory. You know, that's their thinking because that's what they're taught, all right?
Yes.
So that's a problem. But that doesn't mean that they can't go through the system and you can't use them. And if you can get a lawyer for a reasonable price, which you can get through prepaid legal, and you get a lawyer through at a reasonable price, okay, and to work your problem out because you don't have anything that you have to be too concerned about from the common law perspective. This is all just legal stuff that's already written down in the process of the system, you know what I mean? So... they should be able to look at my thinking is a lawyer just has to fill out some papers and file it in the probate court and then you know, it takes 30 days, 60 days, they get it stamped back with a signature on release and they move forward and they change the property name. I think it's that simple. If you go in there without a lawyer, you know, you have no clue what's going on. You don't know, they'll appeal you to no end. Some lawyer that's in there, that's part of the system, may see a quick buck from you and take fiduciary authority of the process over you. And next thing you know, you're going to lose your home because you have to sell a home because you have to pay the lawyer because they're running fiduciary authority over you. So you got to get a lawyer to deal with this. Now, I've been in bankruptcy court. It was a pretty simple thing. You know, and I read through all of the papers and stuff and how that court operates and what needed to be done and so on and so forth. And I just went through the process. I also been through, divorce court. I mean, not for myself, just for other people. And I've been through divorce courts. And again, there's a whole packet. You don't have to be a lawyer to go through. You can go right through the whole packet and just file all the papers and things along. You just have to understand.
Okay.
And that's why it's important for people to know due process. And for anybody who realizes that they should know due process, you can get due process right here at National Liberty Alliance. You can learn due process under Education Starts Here. Click on Court Access in the Common Law course and take the course. Once you understand due process, you can deal with a lot of your own problems. Now, sometimes, you know, people who can't articulate themselves well, maybe, well, you can control your case, and you can hire a lawyer and control that lawyer. Okay. Now,
articulate very well. So, but go ahead. Go ahead.
You just have to learn these things. That's what you have to do.
Okay.
Now,
I bet any lawyers listening to this program tonight are in a great fume, or in other words, they're probably pretty disturbed by what was being said about them.
Oh, absolutely. And I say it often enough. They should be disturbed. Maybe they'll wake up and look to where they're sitting in life, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, it seems like we kind of came to the end here. Thank you. Thank you. Then I'll look into this about the
prepaid
getting in. Yeah.
Okay, Tim. All right, there's
okay,
nobody.
Well,
all right, go ahead.
I was just going to say thank you. Okay.
All right. Take care, Tim.
Okay, take care.
All right. Bye. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? *6 and 1 on the phone, and should be a button if you're on an app or browser. Meanwhile, while we're waiting to see if anybody gets into the queue, I'm going to read that letter so we don't sit here in silence, huh? So, let me see what we got here. Here it is. Okay, this is a letter to President Trump et al. Et al. Means it's under number 2 here. Sure it is. No, that's not it. These are the people that are attached to it. All these people are being served a copy of this paper, okay? And this paper is a cover sheet, for the paper that we're filing with the United States Supreme Court, including the letter to the clerk, okay? But let's read this. This is from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, addressed to President Trump and his administration and certain congressmen and senators. And we start off listing all of the... Well, we start off making the point, let the attached presentment be also addressed and herein served upon President Trump, his administration, and the senators and congressmen that are copied, okay? So we write, attached, please find a copy of the 4th grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court concerning treason at the highest level, and a copy of our letter to the clerk who has been blocking our presentment in violation of the law. We realize that you and your administration are aware of the corruption in our courts. And there's a lot going on right now. I'm hearing a lot of information of what's happening in the courts from the administration's perspective. We realize that you and your administration are aware of the corruption in our courts, whereas Article 3, Section 1 states that the judges both of the Supreme and inferior courts shall hold their office during good behavior. So as long as they're in good behavior, they can hold their office. If they're in bad behavior, they can't no longer hold their office. And bad behavior would be any law, any judge that is contrary to the Constitution. So office is good as long as they're in good behavior. We hope that enough people have awakened to possibly elect enough patriots in the upcoming 2026 midterm election in both houses to start articles of impeachment to save our republic. And if not, then executive powers are the only solution. And that's something I know is on his table. Unfortunately, we have seen no evidence from you within your administration that you realize the root of the problem. You can cut off the corrupt branches, the judges, but if you do not remove the corrupt root, which is the ABA, the American Bar Association accreditation monopoly, they will just grow back in time. The ABA has used its position as sole national law school accreditor to push a radical ideological agenda to the detriment of lawyers, law students, and our country. They have abrogated our courts of law and replaced it with civil law courts. They prevent anyone that is not a bar attorney from practicing law. The Texas Supreme Court and Florida Supreme Court have recently begun to reconsider the ABA accreditation requirements. Other states should follow suit. As long as the bar tort schools exist, our courts of justice will never be restored. The only solution is 18 U.S.C. subsection 2385, the advocating of the overthrow of a government, which states, whoever knowingly or willfully advocates, they advocates, abets, advises, and teaches, they do all those things, the duty, necessity, the desirability, or propriety of overthrowing or destroying the government, that's what they're doing, and through their teachings, of course, of the United States, or the government of any state, territory, district, or possession thereof, or the government of any political subdivision therein, by force or violence, or by assassination of any officer of any such government, or whoever with intent to cause the overthrow or destruction of any such government, they print, publish, edits, issues, circulates, sells, distributes, or publicly displays any written or printed matter advocating, advising, or teaching the duty, necessity, desirability, or propriety of overthrowing or destroying any government in the United States by force or violence or attempts to do so, or whoever organizes or helps or attempts to organize any society, group, or assembly of persons who teach, advocate, or encourage the overthrow or destruction of any such government by force or violence, or becomes or is a member of or affiliated with any such society, group, or assembly of persons, knowingly the purpose thereof, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Now, you have to realize what this is saying. To me, it's very clear. Maybe to some people, it's a little, you know, technical. It really is pretty simple. The point is the listing of what they're doing. They are teaching the advocating the overthrow of this government, and they've done so and already executed it through the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, which was exercised and executed by the United States Supreme Court in 1938, okay? That's subversion. That's the overthrow of our government. They've abrogated the law of the land. They've abrogated the rules of common law. They've destroyed our entire court system and moved us over to civil law with no power, no authority. And we cover that in our paperwork, which we had read before. Okay, so anyway, this is pretty clear. Anybody that's a lawyer and reads this, it's pretty clear. The problem is lawyers have a problem letting this knowledge sink in because they are true believers of the lie. So anyway, we pick up with the letter. Maybe your administration is already awakened to the aforesaid subversion and have a plan that cannot be, at this time, be transmitted. We certainly hope so, because if we don't root out the root of the problem, our posterity will be revisited by these tyrants. In closing, past experience with these rogue courts lead us to believe that there is no redemption in them, and therefore, if SCOTUS is unable to take a stand and honor their oath, the burden to reestablish courts of justice falls upon you and your administration. Respectfully submitted, Grand Jury Foreman, Surety of the Peace, with a seal, under seal. Okay, so that's the letter going to the President. And we do have a statement, a little quote on the bottom of this paper. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Edmund Burke. Okay, so that's the letter, the cover letter. Now, still nobody in the queue. We have about 25 minutes. And if nobody gets into the queue, we'll read the other letter. So I'll start that process. If I notice someone in the queue, I'll move over. Terry or Jan, if you see someone coming to the queue while I'm reading, let me know and we'll take the question. Okay, so let me close that letter up. That you can get a copy of that letter on our front page here at nationallibertyalliance.org. I see Anonymous has moved in. I'll be with you in a minute. Right on our front page, you got the presentment to SCOTUS. You can click on that, get a copy of that. We read that last week. We've got a cover letter to Trump administration, which we just read. Okay, you can click on that and get a copy of that letter. And if we get to this tonight or maybe at another time, the cover letter to the clerk. It's 4 pages. I think it's a pretty powerful paper in my opinion. And we'll see where that goes. Okay, meanwhile, we'll go back over to the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Again, it's a *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. Apple browser should be a button. Someone coming in under the name of Anonymous, so we'll take that. Person, what is your first...
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi, John. This is Elizabeth in Arizona. Good evening. I just listened to you read. Can you hear me all right, sir? Am I clear?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. The letter you just read to the president, you're talking about a grand jury. Can you talk a little bit more about that grand jury? Because I never knew that kind of grand jury existed.
Well, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury was brought together by National Liberty Alliance. We go back quite a few years where we toured the entire United States, every county, within reason. There are counties where it's very rural, not many people there. And we've also, some of the counties, we'd find a central location and visit maybe three counties at a time at a central location that's convenient to those counties. But we did visit all the counties, or most of the counties, let's say at least probably 80% of the counties of the here in the United States. Is 3,134. Now, we did this quite some time ago. I think it was around, we were touring the country, I think it was around 14 we started it, I think. And I think we finished it around the end of 2015 or 16. So we had groups of people throughout the United States doing this. And what we're doing is we're enticing within the counties to come together on a state level to create a unified state common law grand jury. And so all of those were established. They established a unified state common law grand jury, like unified New York State, unified New Jersey, Montana, Texas, so on and so forth, all 50 states, including of course, Alaska and Hawaii. So we've done them all. And each one of those states got themselves a seal, signed a paper concerning their bringing together as a grand jury, sent a copy of that letter, certified under seal. We have copies of all those. The plan was to take all the state common law grand juries, come together as the unified United States common law grand jury. And that's where we're at right now.
Okay.
Now, we came together, last time we came together was quite some time ago, but we agreed that we would do everything and all that's necessary with indictments, anything necessary for anybody who got in the way in our pursuit of justice to open justice courts. Okay, so the grand jury has already agreed to the procedures and processes that we've been working through for quite a few years now. And those processes, a lot of that can be found under federal court cases where we have a grand jury docket. You can click on that. And we have, it's an extraordinary action against numerous cases, people that we've done habeas corpuses. We've done cases moved for cause into the federal courts. We've done, let's see what else we got here. Denial of due process, felony rescues, and we've got a lot of indictments here. Concealment for a felony rescue. And we picked up a particular case, the murder of Lavoy Fittikin. It was a 24-page murder and conspiracy indictment that we filed also. We filed the United States Attorney General. Back then it was Session, and then it was Barr, and now we have the new one that we're filing papers and serving on them too. Now, that's the authority we are operating.
I'm just wondering because if it started like, 12 years ago, are all those people still in place and, everybody's current?
No, people have come and gone. People don't have the stamina or something. They just don't. I don't know. But that doesn't destroy the validity of what we're doing.
Okay. So I'm not looking for problems. I'm just looking for answers to a question, this grand jury is still, I mean, see, I grew up in a time where you had to go renew your license. So, I mean, I'm like, but this is, it's got perpetuity to it then, right?
Absolutely. And we already came to the agreement of whatever is necessary for indictments or whatever. And we're not doing any court cases anymore. we're doing habeas corpuses and so on and so forth. But the focus right now is to get our courts back to courts of justice, and that's
right.
On the federal judiciary, even indicted. Believe it or not, I mean, there was no other way to go around this. These are all extraordinary, things that we're doing here. It's not the norm per se, but it doesn't take away the power and the authority of the people to take back their government by whatever, means that they possibly can.
Okay?
That's what we're trying to do. We want our courts of law back. And so we actually indicted the federal judiciary entirely. And the reason why we were able to indict them was because of the work we'd done in the federal court right here. All of these cases, everything unanswered. They totally ignore us. Think that they're in charge. The Bar Association has twisted and turned our courts, our law, everything around, and it serves them. And it doesn't serve the people. We are the victims. They're victims.
Well, it seems to me that, back in 2020, there were messages coming out on the internet that said, the IRS is finished, the Fed's finished, but we've been living with it still up to now. But it seems like things get solidified, and then it takes several years for it to actually be brought out, which I think we're at an area of possibly, hopefully, some more disclosure on that. But I'm just saying maybe, it's kind of, everything has a gestation or an incubation period, where it gets strong, and you've done a lot of footwork. So, are those documents on the website? I could find them if you...
Yeah, you could find all the... We filed it in a case. We opened up a court case up in the Northern District of New York for the sole purpose of filing, a place to file our paperwork for storage to begin with. But everything we'd done had gotten filed up there in the federal, and they never pushed it back. They never bothered us on us. The papers went in and they haven't returned, so that's kind of a good. But we wouldn't care if they returned it anyway. We sent it to them. They've got it. And we also sent it, at the time we started this, Sessions was in power, Attorney General Sessions.
Right.
And then Attorney General Barr took over. So everything we filed up in the Northern District Court was also filed with the Attorney General. So they've got copies of this also. Plus, they have filed it up on our website, on the page that I said, under the federal court cases. Federal court cases is the proof of the fact of subversion by ignoring people, denying habeas corpuses, denying hearing people who have gone into courts for a denial of due process. We did all that, not that we really were such good planners and thinkers on this. Some of it is, of course, is planned and thought out, and some of it just turned out to be the right thing to have done, And so we put all this together, all these cases together, prove subversion, because the way they respond, or lack of response on all of our paper, it's the same way whether they're in a Texas federal court or New York federal court, Jersey, Connecticut, Montana. It doesn't matter. Every one of these federal courts have done the same thing in the same way. And that proves conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
And we indicted the entire federal jury, the entire federal judiciary for conspiracy, and laid out the facts. And now the paper that we just filed with, filing with the United States Supreme Court, lists out all those cases. And if you look at the top of our pages, if I can get this back up again, where was it? Let me think where we were. Okay, yeah. If you look at the top of the letter page that we filed,
On the front page?
Yeah.
You mean the front? Yeah.
I believe this is on all of them. But if you go cover letter to the clerk, or you go to the cover letter to Trump administration, you look here, you're not on a computer, so you can't see. But if you open that up and you look at the letter, let me make this bigger so other people can see.
This is off the front page of the website?
Yeah, all of these papers come right off the front page.
Right, they're right off the front. Yes, okay, I know exactly where you're talking about then. Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the letter, on the top of the letter, it has Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, Sureties of the Peace on behalf of the people. It gives location. And then underneath it, there's a bar. And that bar has the two letters, the abbreviation for every state, all 50 states here. So you can go through it and see that. Now, we've already filed all of the certificates and the gathering together of all of the state grand juries with addresses and seals. And we filed that also with the Attorney General. And we filed it into the court.
Okay. So going into that paper, I'm just wondering where on the website do you have, from the tabs at the top, is there a way to go in and find all these documents that you were talking about?
I don't know what we have. If we don't have those documents as far as all the states, I'll post them. Okay.
Okay. Oh, that'd be great. It might be a good example of something that's in play, and then I'm wondering though, because I mean, some of these people, I don't want to get into names, but the attorney generals, some of them are not good. They were not good for us. And so maybe they went in and took them out. I mean, this is the kind of stuff it seems it's going on. So,
I think I don't have knowledge of this, but I suspect very strongly that Sessions was a sacrificial lamb, so to speak. Okay. I do think that Sessions had done thousands and thousands of indictments that are sealed. Okay, concerning this problem. Barr also may be the same kind of a situation. Even though he looks like the bad guy, he may also be a good guy. I don't know. I'm suspecting that. But I do know, as far as Session is concerned, that Q had made note on a couple of occasions, trust Sessions. Okay?
I remember that.
The reports and the hearings, now I don't know exactly particularly, but I've heard all kinds of things, up to 100,000 indictments. That's going back even a couple of years already, and the indictments are still being done and put together. You see, because we're dealing with subversion, this is at the highest level. We're about to lose this nation, okay?
Yeah.
People don't realize how close it's been.
I know.
But by the grace of God, and Donald Trump was put into power and authority, being a unique individual, I don't know that there's another individual on this planet that could have done the job the way Trump has done it. I view him as a type of Cyrus because he's going to bring this nation back. And all these people are going to, there's going to be huge amounts of people arrested.
That's what I understand too. We have an attorney general right now. He's a temporary one, I think. I can't think of his name, but he replaced Pam Bondi. Okay, so he needs to come under common law too. Now maybe they have a plan for that, but I guess. I've seen reports and I've heard it now from other places that the common law is coming back. And I've also heard people say, we never really experienced it because we were, it was taken from us like they'd snatch a baby out of a nursery in a hospital, that you never really got to know what common law was. They took it from us. And I only use that baby analogy because of how precious this Constitution is. So, there's going to be a lot of contention, but it will be this ignorance and their investment in it, their lives and their money. So it'll be interesting to see. I've heard a report a number of times that there are about 500,000 sealed indictments for the judicial system that's supposed to be served very, very soon. We can't worry about that too much because it's not here yet, but to be right, but what you're doing is footwork that kind of gets your foot in the door, if nothing else,
Extremely lawful. Remember, what people don't understand, they don't realize the power and the authority of the people. They don't understand that. That's why it's so important for people to get an education.
But they don't want the education because they'd have to grow.
And that's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. They've been taught to not grow, and they don't even know it.
Yes.
It's peer pressure. It's that collective conscience where everybody has to agree. And if somebody walks in and they have a different way of, they are ostracized. And, you know, I mean, it's really a spiritual thing. And it's emotional. You know, it's not really emotion. It's obsessive. And obsession hurts us. So, you know, people will try to do anything to get away from the lies that they've taken on. And lies do nothing but make us insane. We don't even want the truth if we've been fed enough lies, because that means we have to go back and reshuffle the deck. And oh my God, you know, I mean, they don't see a value in that. So I hear what you're saying, and I'm just interested. I mean, I don't know. I don't mean to go on and on, but I've heard people talking about this, and there's a man that's been just come up in the last few. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry. You say something.
Yeah, if you go go out to dinner occasionally, you go to a place here, a place there, and people are sitting down and eating, and they have children with them. Even their children got these little computers, you know, which I guess is smart.
Yeah.
They got 7-8 year olds a smartphone. Do you want to destroy your child? Do you want to demoralize and destroy your child? Give them a smartphone, and you're destroying their life. They don't know how to socialize or anything. Everything is in that computer, and there's connection with like a fix, like dopamine, you know, that they get hit. They got to go back. And the parent, everybody, you go to a place and you sit down, and other people are sitting down. They're not communicating with each other. They're communicating with someone else, somewhere else. I mean, come on. What the heck is wrong?
Well, the parents are of age to not know anything else. I mean, they grew up in the 80s.
Stupidity. They have now these quick little, you go to YouTube and they got these little YouTube things that are clips 2 minutes long, a minute long. And I hear people being there for hours going click, 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 click. Come on.
Right. No, well, they don't know anything else, you know. They don't even use books.
They don't read books.
You know, so... That's a hard one to row. I mean, how do you do that? You know, and I mean, I was at a gas station not too long ago, and I was waiting for the gas to pump. And sometimes I talk to the person who's pumping gas on the other side, and I mentioned something about the regarding the elections, and he was a young man. He was probably in his late 30s. Caucasian, I don't mind saying that because it's a profile that I've noticed because they're my people. But it's like he goes, you know, President Trump is the worst president I've ever seen. And I'm thinking, you know, and so he interrupted me, and I thought, okay, well, I put it out there, so I got to take the heat, you know. And he told me to wake up, and then he left, you know, and he wasn't.
Oh, of course. Look at their true believers. They got CNN, they got ABC, and then. See, they're all collaborating together. Look at, they all need to hang. They need to hang for abetting and protecting the enemy, for participating in the destruction of our nation by bringing.
But they don't know because grandpa or their mom loved so and so, or you know, it's like a betrayal of everything that they love.
Yeah,
they can't go back. You know,
gonna wake up when it hits the fan. They're going to wake up when the arrests start to be taking place and all the true stories start to come out. And the true stories will come out from any of the news media, because they'll be going to jail. Okay, these people are subversion at the highest level. Now, going back to people, though, this is very disturbing to me, extremely disturbing to me. You know, when I was a child, I grew up in New York City, okay? And I used to have to take a bus to go to school, you know, regular transit authority bus.
Right. Yeah, I did too.
And I hung out in three different neighborhoods. And let me tell you, and I go through other neighborhoods. kids were all over the streets, you know, after school or throughout the summer and on weekends. You know, I used to walk sometimes. You know, I had a bus pass, so during the week I could use the bus. But on the weekends, I had to walk to where I hung out, because I hung out in three different neighborhoods by the time I was like 12 years old. And depending on what was going on over here, I'd go over there or whatever. But the thing is as I'm walking, kids everywhere playing handball, stickball, doing all kinds of different things, Ringolevio, Roundup, playing all these games, everybody out in the streets, going out. And we'd go to the beach in the summertime. We'd head to Orchard Beach or Rockaway Beach. I mean, there was activity, running, having fun, a great, great time. You walk down the street. Like a ghost town. I don't see children no more. Where are all the children? I know where they're at. They're sitting in some little hole in their house on a computer or their little smartphone going inside a different world. And being demoralized. I watched my children didn't have that. I didn't let my children grow up with that. Okay, but my nephew, okay, he's like 21 now, and I followed his way through school. You know, I spent a lot of time with him, and I used to see the things that would come through his smartphone, the things he would say, and I used to get on his case. How can you can't talk to people like that. I mean, what's wrong with the parents in this nation? They probably went through the same thing. A lot of them maybe 20, 25 years old, and they've grew up the same way, and maybe even before that. I don't know, but the whole world is upside down. We have a problem. Okay.
Well, there's a documentary that was made in like 1983. It's called New Age Movement, Pathway to Paradise? And it's done by this guy named Dan Wheeler. And it was, you know, analog video. It's fine. But he goes and he visits these teachers up in Northern California. They used to teach him to lay on the floor and dream, you know, and imagine they were on a fluffy cloud. And they interviewed these two different teachers, and one of them said, well, we have the curriculum, the regular curriculum, but we're adding something in. And this is where it starts, because everything that they add in is, it negates any of the other stuff. It's like they prey on their neediness, you know, some of them come from broken homes or, you know, they have problems and they, you know, and their parents have problems too. They're human beings, and my gosh, you know, I mean, I can't blame it all on the parents because they didn't get what they needed, whatever. But it's a generational thing. But the thing is that the point I bring that up is that, you know, I remember watching that maybe 15 years ago, but now those kids, they're like 8 years old then, maybe six. Well, they're grown now. And did they learn did they ever read Great Expectations, or, you know, did they ever learn about prepositions, or do they, you know what I'm saying? You know,
they've been demoralized, and we've allowed that. They brought the devil into the schools, and we've allowed that to happen. You got the devil calling down in New York City right now at 5:30 in the morning, or whatever time they do it. I was listening just recently. I think it was Dave is it Dave? I think it was Dave on And We Know. But in any event, he was talking about that there's like five times a day they do this cry out to Allah or something. You know, it's going. I'm going through the streets of New York City. Now, I haven't been down to New York City in quite some time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Really going on, whether it's in the Bronx too, in Brooklyn and Queens or just Manhattan. I don't know. But it's insane. They are offering up to the devil, Baal, B-A-A-L, I believe it's spelled. Yeah. That's their god, okay?
Yeah.
And it's this world, the prince and power of the air. And that's what's taught everywhere. And they're bringing it into school, okay? And are being demoralized. They don't know what sex they are. They don't know. Look at people, wake up, get involved. You got to do something.
That generation might be lost.
Well, look at, there's always salvation potential.
For a few, but it's a movement. And they feed off of each other.
Because you have to capture their attention and you have to lead them through, but it's an addiction that's got to be broken. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's addiction. Yeah.
And that's why
I agree.
We're continuing through AI, and if AI becomes what they claim it's going to become, it's too late. I will tell you right now, I think, you know, I think mankind is creating their own hell. If you know, because AI will be the god of this world. Okay, and when God comes and judges this entire world, and I don't believe it's far off, as a matter of fact, but in any event, when God does come and decide and judge this world, and it casts them back into eternity to their hell, whatever that might be, maybe he's going to send them back to Earth or a place where AI is going to be their God, because that's what it will become. Okay?
You know what I think they are, John? You know what I think? I believe they are. I mean, people get pissed off at me, so don't feel bad if you get pissed off at me. But they're fallen angels. I mean, they didn't come out of nowhere, you know, and they didn't come from the Pleiades or Venus. And they can take any form. They're supernatural. They can go in and out of dimensions. That's why these UFOs can appear and disappear.
Hold it. Before you go too far, you know, we don't want to get too... I can't...
No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, I didn't want to... I'm just putting that in there, but you can put it in the garbage disposal. That's fine. Yeah.
Off this point. This is a very important point. Here is the problem with this point, okay? You know, we are a Christian. We have the Bible. Okay, we have God's word, okay?
Yeah.
And he tells us, you want to know what life is all about and the way to salvation, and you want faith, you know, you go to the Bible for all that, and faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. And you will build faith. And if you go to the Bible and looking for that faith, God will give you that faith, and you will know exactly who Jesus Christ is, and you will understand exactly what's going on here. I teach these in our Bible classes, but I don't normally talk about it on this particular program. But the bottom line is we are at a spiritual war. Now, here's a big problem, okay? You know, I listen to people, I talk to people, and they go into these other crazy books, the books of Enoch, the Maccabees, the Book of Wisdom. I mean, all these different books, and it talks about the things you're talking about, okay? And that's where these people are getting this idea about these...
No, it's about the Nephilim. The Raphaim,
Let me finish the point, okay? A lot of these come from that place, from those books, okay?
Right.
And matter of fact, there's movies, cartoons, and even a lot of this action stuff that these kids play with games, it's all of that stuff is everywhere. And now it very well be what you're saying might be true from the standpoint, because I think we're very close to the end, and it may very well be something of that nature, but not the nature of what's coming out of the books. Okay, that's a whole different story.
Right.
Bottom line, and the Bible is clear on this, that Satan is prince and power of the air. He is the god of this world.
He has to obey God. He cannot disobey God. And if God says, as long as you have to have the seal of God in your forehead, and they cannot touch them. It doesn't mean we're not, you know, the people who have that, and I pray to God that I'm learning that, but it's like I might have to have consequences, but that doesn't mean that they can really touch me.
Elizabeth,
not a hair on your head. Yeah,
Elizabeth,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I've gone too far for this program, okay? I try to keep... I don't deny Christ.
Well, I'm not. It's just you were talking about it, and I was just saying, though, that he does have control over this earth right now, but he doesn't have ultimate control. It's delegated power. It's not ultimate power. It's delegated power.
Okay. All right, hold on a minute. I just muted you so I can finish off because we're way past the time, and I want to just finish this night off with this point, okay? You know, we have to be careful. I don't deny Christ in any way, shape, or form. I am absolutely crystal clear. We're a nation whose God is the Lord, okay? And God blesses the nation whose God is this Lord. And our founding fathers spoke about Christ. They spoke about who we are as a people. They're the ones that laid it out under the laws of nature and of nature's God. They're the ones that put the Bible as the pinnacle in school. They didn't make it a law, but they strongly suggested, and it remained so until 1963, until evil has taken control of that and removed that book. So our children don't know how to pray. They don't know how to talk to God. They don't know who God is, and they don't know who the King of the Court is. They don't know the doctrines of Jesus Christ, which was taught in schools. The doctrines of Jesus Christ was taught in schools. And they don't know any of those things because it was ripped out of schools in 1963. But nevertheless, with that said, You know, these kind of conversations, when we get into the deep part of these things, should be done on another program. We do have the Bible class that we have. We do Bible studies. And if enough people want to come to that and have an open forum to talk them to these things, we can talk. But nevertheless, I don't disagree with... Look, first of all, there's a spiritual world. It's all around us. Satan and his demons is everywhere. Satan lives in the body of unsaved individuals. He's in and out. You know, people who are more and more evil than others, you know, then there's a lot of evil spirits spending a lot of times inside this person, driving them to do evil things. You know, you ever heard the statement? Matter of fact, the Son of Sam said this himself. I don't know what got into me. Okay? So we do know that demons are out there. Whether they're connected to this... whatever's going on up there, because there is something going on up there, maybe so. I don't know. I don't understand it. But it's all conjecture. It's all, a theory, an idea, an imagination. And I think a lot of this comes from the Book of Enoch, because what I hear people saying is what you read about in the Book of Enoch. And you look and what they're saying about these, whatever's going on up there, UFOs or whatever, you know, these people from another dimension or whatever the case may be, I see the connection of the stories, and that's not good. So we got to be careful with that. But anyway, I didn't really want to take this into this kind of a format here to bring this kind of a discussion. We can have this at another time somewhere else if you want, on a different venue. But with that, I'll give you one last statement before we leave. Elizabeth, I just...
Yeah, John, I'm really sorry that you thought you had to mute me, because I'm not into the Book Enoch. I'm not into the Book of Enoch, and for my own personal reasons. So I'm sorry you felt you had to mute me, because I...
It's not you. It's not...
No, look, John, it wasn't... You didn't like what I was saying, and so you muted me. That's what I see.
Not that
but
I
that's
didn't...
okay. I won't say it anymore, you know, but I was just...
Hold on. I'm going to have to mute you again. Hang on a second. Okay? It's not that what you were saying, okay? I don't want to argue the point. I'm saying there's a better place to talk about this. This is not the place to talk about it. That's my point, okay? I shouldn't have let it gone as far as it gone. But the thing I'm saying is this. People that are coming up with these kind of ideas and thoughts, I'm telling you right now, it's coming from the Book of Enoch. I read the Book of Enoch. Books. I've only
Got her marked as Elizabeth now.
Did you want to say something, Terry? I think Terry's unmuted and talking on the phone or something. But anyway, no, I'm not being argumentative. A lot of people say what you say. There may be some validity to it. But what I'm hearing, though, the details, same details coming out of the Book of Enoch. That's where I'm saying a lot of this information is coming from. So... But I don't know. With that, I think we've got to close it out anyway. It's way past our time. It's 10 after 11. So let me let your mic off for one more second. I'll give you 5 seconds and we're closing down. It's not an assault upon you. Has nothing to do with me. I may disagree with you, and we can talk about that. And if you disagree with me, you can talk about that too. That's good, because when people disagree, one has to be right. Well, maybe both are wrong too. And it's always good to listen to the other side. But I'll give you 5 seconds, and then we're closing down. Go ahead.
John, I don't have anything else. I really don't think I can talk about the Bible. I think it's important that people know about this, because there's no doubt. There is no defense about what's coming unless we understand that, and just to talk about it. But, you know, we're so afraid of people running away. Well, maybe they want to run away. I don't know. But we're talking about the king of the court.
Well,
The king of the court died on the cross and defeated death. So we don't really have that much to worry about. I'm just saying that I know you, and I just don't know what else to say. I studied it a lot. And, I mean, for many, many years. And I'm just telling you what I see, not what I think. And I'm doing my best, and I'm not trying to, I can't convince anybody. I don't want to convince anybody. I want them to go find out for themselves, just sharing where I found it, you know. And if you look in Revelation 9, it talks about this locust that comes out of the pit, right? And it describes a profile of people who are swarming the world right now. And you can see it.
Elizabeth.
But anyway,
I got to end this, so it's way over time. But
what
I'll
is
make.
Is this Terry?
Yeah. I
want to just note on the locust. The locust, it's a parable to begin with, okay? And the locust.
No,
the locust identifies with the false prophet, okay? And that's what that's symbolic of it. But this is not the place for Bible studies, okay? So I'm going to end the subject there. I've given you 5 seconds on a couple occasions, but you keep going on too long. I just wanted you to bring it to an end, and we'll move on. But I don't mean to argue with you or anything. And again, different opinions are good because that's how you find truth, because everyone has error. And I speak to myself first. I'm sure I'm full of a lot of errors, okay, just like anyone else. But correction is found through conversation, debate, and consideration of the other opinion, the other side of things. And that's how you find, you know, correction. Terry, if you wanted to make a note or something on this, and then we're going to close down.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, Elizabeth, thank you for your opinion, and you can justify what you know because of what you studied, but we have all studied something slightly different. What we try to encourage here is a unity, and it doesn't have to start with Christ. We are all Christian here, and when we're not Christian, we start going off on a different tangent. Then it gets deep, and it's a religious study. So
right.
I appreciate you voicing your opinion, but we got to let John go. He's a busy guy, and so thank you very much, John.
Yeah, I'd like to go to sleep. All right, thanks, Terry. All right, Elizabeth, we'll talk again soon, and we'll just pick it up there. And again, if anybody wants to have these conversations of this nature, we can. But not here. This is not the proper venue for that. Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night. And we have Bible studies on Wednesdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, every Wednesday, right here in the START Meeting Room, National Liberty Alliance's START Meeting Room. Good night, everybody.